tape one. I'll ask the question again. Did you notice any political and religious differences between the various South Vietnamese forces and officials?
Yes, I believe it's common knowledge that many of the leaders of South Vietnam were actually northerners and moved south after the Geneva Convention. And President Diem was Catholic, and during his regime, many of the high officials, or most of the high officials, were Catholic, although they were a very small percentage of the country. You have numerous religious groups in the country, have different opinions, and very, very strong-minded, closely-knit groups. The Vietnamese Army, while I was there, was basically a draft army. And my experience with the units, and particularly the counterpart that I end up with, attempted to celebrate all religious holidays. That doesn't mean we took off because it was Christmas or a holiday on Buddha's birthday or any other Tet, which is the Chinese New Year's. We did try to celebrate when possible all holidays. He went to great effort, not for me, but for the unit, for Christmas. They had a nativity scene, and fireworks, and presents for the children. The same was true for our other holidays. The religious conflict was not prevalent at small unit level. There were also ethnic groups, the Mountain Yards, the Cambodians, the Chinese, and of course you had North and South Vietnamese, not necessarily ethnic groups, but had different backgrounds, different cultures, all living together. As far as I could tell, there was no conflict in these areas.
Would you describe the American Civic Action Program in South Vietnam?
We were somewhat limited what we could do with a Ranger Battalion because we were never supposed to be in one place very long. But the Civic Action Program has varying levels of response. Our efforts were mainly along the medical lines. I always had a U.S. medic with me. And whenever we went into an area, we would first give medical assistance. But more important, the medics I had with me tried to train the Vietnamese medics on how to use the medicines. You know, we send medicines to these countries. One instance, we found that they were using eye drops on open wounds because there was people did not read English. There was no instruction in Vietnamese for the medics. And there was a great sense if it was American and it was medicine, fine, take it. So there's a lot of poor practice, medical practice in these areas. But we attempted to prove this. The sores, the infections, and so on were really shocking to see. Just on the average Vietnamese child. The more complex programs I'm of course aware of and seen the improvement of the wheat harvest in the north because of the Delta area being under so much contention against both sides. We brought in a hybrid base. We tried to rebuild schools. We tried to educate teachers, established some semblance of law and order to allow the kids to go to school, allow religious practices at least during the daytime. It was a quite extensive thing. I think people get the wrong impression of the war. And I was somewhat shocked when I got back to the cities and of course the three different tours each time I saw something else. If you were assigned to Saigon in the late 69, 70, 71 period, you could despise the Vietnamese. The bars, the crime, I don't want to say black market because that was blown out of proportion. But you could get disgusted with the city. Yet, when you got out in the villages and where the people were, you found that they were hardworking, friendly, happy-going people. You also had to be impressed by the nation building that was going on. Imagine trying to fight a war and conducting a political and industrialization of a country. It wasn't a two-party system, which caused a lot of conflict. There were probably about 13 parties or groups that voted in blocks, and then they could be broken down to another probably 20 or 30 groups. So you really had something like the French Republic before de Gaulle took over. They had a new government every couple months, or would have had if you didn't have some of the strongman efforts. But no matter what we say about the corrupt political practices and so on during the elections, the fact that you even had elections, even tried to elect people, and that there was a dissent, accepting a dissent when you're fighting a war, is kind of hard to believe. At the same time, trying to maintain a civilian economy and building an economy that you're fighting a war is has never been done before. And in fact, we even attempted it, tried it, and were in some way successful. It's utterly amazing, and I think it attributes to American soldier, advisor, civilian, and military. You really have to see it. It was unbelievable. Of all the paved roads, all the areas that were in small businesses and farming and life going on and somewhat a norm when there was you could be overrun any day. It was strictly amazing to me.
Was the language barrier a major obstacle to accomplishing your mission in Vietnam?
No, not really. As we all tried to pick up the little niceties, hello, how are you? You could converse with a limited social ability between Vietnamese and French and Pidgin English. A couple times I had interpreters with me, and I found that they were not telling me the truth, and I ended up getting rid of them and dealing directly. It was a difficulty at times because you weren't sure you were always understood, and the Oriental had a tendency not to say, I didn't understand that. So you weren't always sure they understood what you were talking about. But I did not find it a major difficulty. It would have been nice to have been fluent in either Vietnamese or French. But they did appreciate any efforts you took to learn their language. You could get a great big smile, because I imagine most of the times we were mispronouncing the words, or the words are so similar at the wrong emphasis on a vowel or a consonant could cause great laughter. But they were laughing with you and not at you, and they would always try to help. I think that was part of the more of the enjoyable tour or life there.
What is your reaction to the statement that Vietnam was a useless war.
I think any war is useless. War is a last resort. Are you saying that we paid a tremendous price for nothing in Vietnam? I don't know whether we can determine that yet. We paid a tremendous price. Anytime Americans die overseas, or die anywhere, in the armed services is terrible. I think the real answer to that will come in the next year or so. If we have established peace or a right of a country to choose its own things, then I personally think it's worthwhile. Along the same line, as a professional military person, I want to assure people that we are the last ones to look forward to war, where the draftee only went once. I had three tours. You had, two or three? You had three tours also. And I never volunteered once to go. So I don't think the military are so interested in war as it was projected.
Do you believe that the American people supported the war to the best of their ability?
No. I don't believe the American people believed in the war. I don't think they were provided an adequate understanding of what the war was all about. And even if they were, I don't know whether they would have fully supported it. I don't know how anybody could really support a war. If you go through from World War II, one and two, the people were propagandized or prepared for it, to beat the Axis and so on. War lost some of its glamour in Korea and all of it in Vietnam. I think the American people or any civilized country with the communication system, as TV and so on, puts you right there. You can find there's no glory in war, and it's not as projected in movies.
As a professional soldier, why did you believe that the U.S. went to war in Vietnam?
As a professional soldier, we're at war because we were told to be, whether it was the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution or so on. There's only one decision as a military man is to do your job the best you possibly can to save as many lives as you possibly can and get the damn thing over as fast as you can. If you're asking what do I believe we were there for or why, I think we were there to provide a people an opportunity to decide what they wanted to do, and rightly or wrongly, we were committed to that program, and it was their job, the Vietnamese people's final determination, what's going to happen to them. I believe that the last couple of years have shown that they did want to be independent. You didn't see a mass revolution after the Americans got out of there. You see that the Vietnamese army is willing to fight for itself. Whether we belong there or not, I don't know. And it wasn't my position to question.
In your opinion, did the American press adequately report the war?
No, emphatically no. Hell no. One time had a correspondent with me, and we discussed this, and he said that he shot his film and he sent it off to the United States, and he had no
say and what was being used or how it used.
I'm sure, Emmett, you can discuss and aware of a lot of cases where you know what they were projecting on the TV screen was not the true case. They would use film of one area and talk about the others. I know several friends that have seen photographs of operations they were on, recognized themselves and found they were in different areas in the battle that was actually talked about. I'm aware of one instance in Wei. When I come back, I was in Wei, which was only about 20 miles from where I was at. Drove all around the town, outside of town, discussed my business, come on back. The next day I found out that there was a major battle in Wei. I went down and asked our tactical operations center what happened, how many casualties, and I said, what do you mean? He said, well, gee, there was a battle in Wei yesterday. And I said, well, we didn't know about it. But yet it was reported on press and the people who were there didn't know anything about it. I know when you went to Saigon and if you went to the different officers' clubs or bars, you always find somebody wanted to talk to you about the war, and it was a correspondent. I actually saw a correspondence in my 2.5 years, roughly, in Vietnam, twice. And I think the last assignment I was aware of how many correspondents come in, and we were talking about Case Island, the hottest part of the war, and there were no correspondents, or the ones that come through came through a very brief trip and departed. I know that prior to departing the country for the second tour, I watched TV presentations of the Tet Offensive. I remember the correspondent saying the lack of Vietnamese support and all this was offensive to the American embassy. I never heard any retractions on that. No, I don't think the American press honestly projected the war. They presented one side, and I think a lot of it was even edited again back here.
And when you say one side, what do you mean?
I would say that it was one-sided presentation. Maybe wasn't a good word. I don't mean that they supported the Viet Cong or anything like that. I don't think they honestly projected what was going on in the 2 or 3 minutes or 15 minutes within a newscast of the war. That they didn't honestly show what the people were feeling. That it had to be exciting, it had to be glamorous, and if you remember watching any of the TV films, the way people were firing weapons and stood up, you knew they weren't being fired at, because no fool would stand up and fire the way they did if they were being fired at. But you were led to believe that this was combat firsthand. And the credibility of a few rounds cracking over a guy's head made anything he said sound real or honest. And I doubt if many of those were, I sure wouldn't stand up and let somebody shoot at me.
What is your reaction to the My Lai incident?
Well, one individual's personal opinion, and I'll even expand that. I think our contemporaries, people who served over there who are professional military, thought it was terrible that Cali was wrong. Cali should have been tried and convicted as he was. He was convicted in a military court of committing crimes. The people who try to blame those superior of him, possibly they failed to report it if they knew the facts at the time. No way can you justify situation like My Lai, And I think you'll find that, I feel, in one person's actions, because the only one or two people involved in the shooting of American, or of Vietnamese people. I, no way can I see how that happened, unless, or justify what happened, unless Lieutenant Kelly, when I was mine at the time of temporary insanity, then I question that somebody else didn't step in. I'm against it. I think he was guilty. It's the job of the officer to control his people and not get or permit things like that happen.
What is your position on granting amnesty for the draft dodgers and deserters?
I don't know. I say that honestly. I don't think it's fair. A certain segment of this country had to go and fight and die when those who were capable of leaving did. I feel that there should be a price paid for that. What the price is, I don't know. And I sure don't want them in the Army. But I think people who lost sons and the soldiers who had to fill in those spots, who had to take their chances, the veterans who lost their legs, their arms, their eyesight, their wives, year of their life are the ones that have to determine that.
Do you believe there should be some type of amnesty given to them?
Well, you can't go on hating forever. You can't go on barring. The problem has to be faced. What the solution is, I don't know.
How did Vietnam affect the U.S. Army, and what manner?
Well, it had an effect on the Army. It, part of the personnel problems that we faced in Korea were solved by a slower or a promotion party for, promotion policy for everybody. The tactics and concepts that were used will probably never be used again. I think we reaffirm that it's difficult to fight a war in a jungle, that you must have clear objectives and so on. I think the most damaging part of the war on the Army was the later phase of drugs, the deterioration of discipline, both at home and in the Army, will have a lasting effect. I'm sure the country and the Army will survive and learn from its mistakes, try to improve both the training and responsibility to survive in an environment of war, and hope that we never have to face another one.
After having served three tours in Vietnam and being back in the U.S., in your opinion, do you believe South Vietnamese can win their fight against communism?
I don't know. I hope, pray that they do. I sure think it'd be a tragic loss if after all the Americans had died over there, that all we did was prolong something that was inevitable. I've got the will. If their will is stronger than the North Vietnamese, then they're going to survive. But we'll never see South Vietnam as it was prior to the war. North Vietnamese are going to annex and annex, and they're going to keep the pressure on and keep the pressure on.
If you had to do it again, Dave, would you recommend going back into Vietnam?
As a national policy?
Yes.
I would go back into Vietnam in the advisory category. I would go back in Vietnam earlier in the advisory category with a much more controlled program. It wouldn't be a major giveaway, assist the Vietnamese and fighting for survival. I would not commit the American forces any way in the magnitude that we did. I also would insist on longer tours and try to maintain continuity of thought. And I think the rotation policy, which was possibly good for morale, was cost us dearly, both in advisory area and then once the war was committed.
Who are some of your contemporaries that may be available to an interview of this nature?
You might say my whole staff. As everybody here, both NCO and officer, have served in Vietnam.
Would they, do you believe they'd be agreeable to an interview?
That would be up to them.
Was there ever a shortage of beer or whiskey in Vietnam?
Again, that depends where you were and what you were doing. I did not tolerate a person taking beer or whiskey on an operation. When we were back in our area, I would not tolerate a person getting intoxicated. So I did not want to lose somebody because they were trying to save some drunk. I just don't believe that that is the place. I'm sure if you wanted a drink, you could find it in Vietnam.
Depending on where you were, the American soldiers had all the enjoyments of the PX and clubs and sports facilities in Vietnam, just as you did in Korea in World War II. Is that correct?
Well, I would say they probably had more. In fact, at points, I did not agree with some of the policies of having to feed a hot meal on every operation or getting ice cream into a battle area. I didn't agree on the large PXs and the R&Rs and things that were there. I think it was a lot of manpower wasted, a lot of money wasted, and in some cases a lot of lives wasted because of we tried to fight a war in a peacetime environment.
May the Youngstown State University Oral History Department use this interview in their research program?
They may use this in their research program as long as it's so stated at the beginning and the end that these are personal opinions and not that of the United States Army.
I repeat the request of Colonel Longacre that the comments on this tape, which consists of side one, tape one, and side two, tape two, that they are the expressed personal opinions of Lieutenant Colonel David Longacre and not the official position of the United States Army or any other military affiliate. This is the end of side two of tape one. This is the end of the interview with Colonel Longacre.